This is in the news for February 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today, an article from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net, written by Brendan Coyne. With bills nearing enactment, groups slam voter ID regs. This is dated February 6th. As legislatures in four states have passed laws requiring photographic identification at the polls, voting rights groups are alarmed at a trend they say appears to mark the resurgence of poll taxes and other voter discouragement efforts, despite a lack of evidence that an ID fraud problem exists. Last week, Ohio Governor Robert Taft and Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue each signed laws mandating voters show government-issued photo IDs in order to cast their ballots. Groups like the NAACP and the League of Women Voters had asked the governors to veto the laws, saying that they unconstitutionally impede ballot access. Voting rights groups worry that senior citizens and poor minorities, two groups that are less likely to have driver's licenses or birth certificates and other documentation required to obtain accepted identification, will be turned away at the polls. Lawmakers in Pennsylvania and New Hampshire recently passed similar legislation in the face of criticism, with supporters maintaining the laws are necessary to combat voter fraud. Though the four bills differ in a number of ways, all are purportedly designed to combat a problem for which there is little hard evidence. Very little study has been conducted on the prevalence of voter fraud involving double voting or voter impersonation. Meanwhile, proponents of measures to restrict voting have relied on anecdotal and vague evidence to support their measures. One of the more comprehensive analyses of voter disenfranchisement in the U.S. was conducted in 2003 for the progressive democracy think tank Demos. The researchers interviewed state officials in 12 states and scoured news databases for instances of prosecutable voter fraud. They concluded, quote, election fraud appears to be very rare in the 12 states examined. Legal and news records turned up little evidence of significant fraud in these states or any indication that fraud is more than a minor problem. Interviews with state officials further confirmed this impression, end quote. Friday, Demos issued a call for action against what they termed a, quote-unquote, rollback in voting rights. The organization urged New Hampshire and Pennsylvania residents to contact their governors to express opposition to the new requirements and calling for greater focus on expanding the right to vote. They called for, quote, the movement of voter ID legislation through state legislatures this year shows that all of the gains we have made in advanced voting rights and fair elections are under threat from regressive election law, end quote. Demos called for Election Day registration, restoring voter rights to the formerly incarcerated, and investing more in hiring and recruiting trained election officials and poll workers. The Pennsylvania arm of the League of Women Voters, a nonpartisan advocate of civic participation, similarly warned last week that the state's House-approved ID law, quote, disenfranchises voters. Proponents have failed to document reliable proof that the integrity of any Pennsylvania election has been compromised, end quote. Last year, Georgia moved to enact a law very similar to the one that just passed, only to have a federal judge strike it down. Again, that was from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net. The next story, a press release from Real News Project. You can contact them at contact@realnews.org. FEMA leaders, secret history explains Katrina events. This is dated February 6 also. A previously undisclosed longtime business relationship between the two former FEMA directors appointed by President Bush, replete with unpaid debts, personal bankruptcies, and questionable business ethics, lies at the root of the disastrously failed government response to Hurricane Katrina, according to a new investigative report. The report, published by the Real News Project, lays out the checkered past of Bush's first FEMA director, Joe Albaugh, a longtime confidant of the president, and Michael Brown, the neophyte unaccountably selected by Albaugh to replace him when Albaugh left government to launch a career as a consultant and lobbyist. The report explains for the first time why Albaugh chose Brown, a man with virtually no experience in government or management of any type, and no familiarity with disaster response, to follow him to Washington and then arrange for Brown to replace him in the top slot. Albaugh then began signing up clients who wanted and got FEMA's lucrative contracts. Both Brown and Albaugh were accused in the past of fiduciary malfeasance. Before coming to Washington, both were known to associates and creditors not as rising stars, but as ethically challenged and frequently failed entrepreneurs. Among the findings, Brown was fired from his longest-held position, his principal job preceding his hiring at FEMA, for obtaining a personal loan from a prominent horse owner under false pretenses. When an official of the Horse Association confronted him, Brown tried to make a deal with the man to make the matter go away. Also, Albaugh accepted and defaulted on several questionable loans. These included one from an elderly widow and another loan guaranteed by a large contractor doing business with the state of Oklahoma. While he was a top aide to the governor, he never repaid the loan. And also, when Albaugh left FEMA, he immediately began setting up a network of lobbying interests to benefit from his connections. His clients were selected by FEMA under Brown and by other agencies for major contracts. For the full report, go to www.realnews.org. And finally today, from Common Dreams News Center, and actually from the Hartford Current in Connecticut, dated today, February 7th, written by Mark Pazniakis, Lamont takes step towards running. Greenwich businessman Ned Lamont moved closer Monday toward a challenge of U.S. Senator Joseph I. Lieberman as he created a candidate committee, named a campaign manager, and began searching for a headquarters. Tom Swan, who is managing what he says is still an exploratory campaign, said, quote, "It is a significant step forward. I am happy that Ned asked me to play a role with this campaign," end quote. Lamont, 52, the president and founder of a cable television company, Lamont Digital Systems, stepped forward last month as the possible champion for Democrats, disaffected with Lieberman's support for President Bush and the war in Iraq. In the past weeks, Lamont has created a website and embarked on an informal speaking tour to gauge support for a challenge of Lieberman, a three-term senator who was the Democratic nominee for vice president in 2000. Swan, a liberal activist and longtime critic of Lieberman, took a leave of absence Monday from his job as executive director of the Connecticut Citizen Action Group so that he can work full-time for Lamont. The Citizens Group's political director, John Murphy, also will be joining the Lamont campaign. Lamont has said that he will not move beyond an exploratory campaign until at least 1,000 volunteers sign up on his campaign website, nedlamont.com. Swan said, quote, "For him to officially get in, we're going to need to recruit volunteers from every town," end quote. Lieberman declined through a spokesman to comment Monday on Lamont's moves or the prospect of facing a Democratic primary in August. He has not had a serious contest since he took the seat from Senator Loyal P. Weicker, Jr. in 1988. Weicker, an opponent of the war, is considering running as an independent to oppose Lieberman on the general election ballot in November. This again is from the Hartford Current and taken from commondreams.org. This has been In the News for February 7th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.